The following is an initiation lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on October 18, 1987 in Atlanta, Georgia.
Performing activities which produce karmic reactions that cause us suffering, we are hurting ourselves. So according to the laws of karma, according to the Vedas, we can understand that if we commit violence on another living entity, we are going to have to suffer violence upon ourselves. It's a common sense. Even the other religious texts say similar things, an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, something like that. But the people being attached, the conditioned soul being attached, he thinks that if I give up something, then I'll have to suffer. So therefore, Lord Chaitanya, Mahaprabhu, he was very merciful. You don't have to give up anything to practice Krishna consciousness. You can practice it without giving up anything. And by practicing it, if you feel a greater happiness, if you feel a greater peace of mind, if you feel a greater spiritual understanding, then at that point, then you can consider what you should give up or what you shouldn't give up, or what you should regulate. Initial stage, no one has to give up anything. But people, see, conditioned souls generally are so attached, they say, look it, I see this person is chanting, that person is chanting, this one is practicing. They've all given up eating chicken. So if I chant, maybe I'll have to give it up. So better not chant. This is the devious type of mentality. Why anyone is forcing anyone to give anything up? If they gave it up, mean they must have something better. That they don't think. They think, no, I can see. Look at, they gave up taking wine, they gave up this, so I better not chant, because I certainly don't want to give up these things. This is how the mind tricks us. But we don't say like that, you're going to be damned or this or that or what. We don't say that. Whatever your karma, you'll have to take the responsibility. That's another thing. That's anyway there. We're saying you chant Hare Krishna and be happy. If you chant Hare Krishna you don't feel happy, well, all right. That's another thing. But if you chant and they feel so happy, they don't. So I don't have to have the blood on my hands of any chicken or cow or anything to be happy. I can be happy eating. If you like the feasts that are given here and you go on eating, you think, well, this is a better meal. Why cause an innocent animal suffering? When that consciousness comes, it'll come. If it doesn't come, it doesn't come. So for those who have taken the initiation, it's already come. They're already convinced for years together, possibly, that no, I like this diet. I like this way of life. I feel happy chanting Hare Krishna. You see, most of today the persons who are taking the initiation, they're all have basically going to school or having jobs or working in, outside the temple in some capacity. But they are finding peace of mind and happiness in chanting Hare Krishna. So what is the difficulty? So the people that are visiting here tonight don't have to be scared. If you chant Hare Krishna, no one ever forces anyone to give up anything. But if by chanting you actually feel in your own heart better to not do something, then what is the problem? Someone is smoking, away. I don't want to go to that place, because I'll get, but everyone knows that on every sign it says you get cancer. So when we're smoking, we can't stop very easily. It's a big problem. But if just by associating with devotees and by eating and chanting, if suddenly someone gets the inner strength, no, I don't need it anymore. So what's the problem? Like there's a saying in Bengali that one should eat to please oneself, but you should dress to please others. Common sense. Huh? You don't see what you look like. The other people are going to see what you look like. So you should dress to please them.
So they don't know what it tastes like when you eat, so you should eat to please yourself. In other words, if someone else tells you how much to eat, this is an analogy I'm trying to use. Maybe it could be misapplied in this context, but the significant, what I'm trying to say, that if we're happy, just like when we eat, we know what it tastes like. The third party doesn't know. He has his own taste buds, he has his own, just like maybe some of our devotees here like prasadam with lots of chilies. But some of our guests, they don't like hot prasadam. They don't like hot food because they are not having that tradition. The American way doesn't have hot chilies. So we have to balance. Some of our Indian visitors, they like to have the spicy preparation, and the other Western, some of the Western anyway, they're not accustomed. If they have the burning feeling in their mouth from the spices, they complain that this is a bit hard to eat. You see, so each person has their own. You see, just like a Goparacha, he may like chilies. But he also likes cheesecake. East and West. But others, they may not. So similarly, we should worry about our being happy at the present, not looking into the future, but where we are at that particular time. If by chanting our consciousness develops, if we develop a higher taste, if we are less dependent upon such things which have bad karmic content, if we're happy at that time, when that time and space, when we reach that level, if we feel happy then where's the problem? It's a type of illusion, a type of cloud over our intelligence that we are anticipating. We should ask the people who are doing, when they're doing it, how do you feel about it? I like being a vegetarian or eating Krishna conscious food. Then all right. If at that time, if you don't like it now, that's all right. Chant Hare Krishna and eat whatever you're eating at your own risk. You see, apart from subtle suggestion, we're not going to make any. That's every person's individual conscience. But if by chanting or by the association, if you develop a different, I'm just using it as an example, then where's the problem? So no one should be afraid. I heard sometimes people are afraid to come to the Hare Krishna temple. But if they come, that their diet may change in the future. So they're anticipating. You see, but that's like someone saying that I'm afraid if I take the medicine, I'll become healthy. We're very happy that, of course, all of you are here. You're the brave souls. You're here because you're pious individuals and you want to know something. You're devotees, most of you, like that. But you can convince the others. Don't worry. You come, there'll be no, you see, problem. Anyway, if you like eating Krishna prasadam, then where's the problem? And if no harm in coming to the temple, chanting Hare Krishna with the devotees. The human life has got actually a higher purpose. That is the point. Instead of being worried about minor things, we should see what is actually the purpose of our human life. Where have we come from? Where are we going to? What is the purpose of our life? Human life is not that long. The Vedas say 100 years is the norm in this age, is like the maximum. But very few people, I think our national average in this country is about, 70, 65? 67. So that's 67%, two-thirds. So that means it's not that much time. Time is ticking. And we have, within this lifetime, the opportunity, whatever our material activities, those are going on. At the same time, we need to give some attention to our actual spiritual development. The process of bhakti yoga, yoga of devotion, which has been recommended by Krishna for this age, is a type of complete holistic approach to yoga where one practices 24 hours a day meditation, but active meditation. Whether one's raising a family, whether one's chanting, whether one's working, whether one's having resting, or even if one's defending oneself from some aggressor, all the different activities can be performed in a yogic consciousness. If one learns the various techniques, the essential factor, of course, is to spend some time every day charging up the spiritual batteries to go through the rest of the day's various trials by chanting the mantra. Mantra means a transcendental vibration, a vibration which is, you can say figuratively, on the same wavelength as the soul, as the spirit living force in the body. It's a non-different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So by chanting that vibration that uplifts our spiritual consciousness and helps us to cross over the obstacles that come. We don't have to escape from the obstacles, just like a hurdle, we can jump over them. Or the hurdles become diminished in size in relation to our consciousness. So what would be an insurmountable hurdle becomes an insignificant hurdle for a Krishna conscious person. This is described in the Vedas by the sloka, Samasita je pada pallava plavam mahat padanga punyaya so murare bhavanga buddhi vata padanga padanga padang padanga padanga vipadang natesham. That the entire bhavam buddhi, this entire material world, is like an ocean of repeated birth and death, of reincarnation. But once we're in it, we have to again and again be born, live our life, die, again reborn, and go on like this. Life after life. So, that ocean, to cross over that and to achieve complete liberation, to achieve our original spiritual position, it's like crossing over an ocean. So to do that, one needs a good boat. The boat is the lotus feet of Krishna. Krishna is the lotus feet. His lotus feet are the boat to cross over this ocean. In other words, by taking shelter of Krishna, we take shelter figuratively at his lotus feet. Out of humility, when we approach someone for shelter, we may look at his feet rather than directly at his eyes to begin with. So by taking the shelter of Krishna, then it said the entire ocean reduces in size to the size of the impression of a young calf's hoof print. If a little calf stepped in the mud, how much water does that hold? That little puddle, it reduces to that size. You can just step right over it. And on the other side is the supreme destination, param param. All the intelligent, wise, spiritual people, they take advantage of this shortcut, take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, chant his mantras, engage in his service, and easily cross over this ocean just in one sweep. And those who don't, for them, there's padang, padang, yad vipadang. There's danger at every step. Because in this world, hear that? Danger at every step. Sirens, ambulances, police. Danger at every step. Padang, padang, yad di padang. It is interesting how there was one man, he went to an astrologer, and the astrologer told him that you're going to die by drowning. So his whole life, he stayed away from water. Never even took a bath, took a shower. He was so afraid that he would drown. Never went swimming, because the astrologer told him he'll die by drowning. So he wanted to escape. So one day, there was a rainy day in New York City. And on the sidewalk, he slipped. And he fell down and he hit his head. He didn't get up. And the police found that he's dead. They took him for an autopsy while he died. He died of drowning. On the sidewalk, there was a half inch of water collected from the rain. His mouth fell right on the sidewalk and breathed the water, and he died of drowning. We may make different plans, but by some material effort, we can change what the karma will be from our previous life. But if we take shelter of Krishna, sopamas apyasya dharmasya mahato saito bhoyat, we can be saved from the greatest danger. by a small amount of practice of Krishna conscious activity, by a little practice of yoga, one can change one's karma. By maneuvering materially, you cannot change your karma. Materially, you can produce new karma for the future birth, for the future life, but what the karmas are coming from the past, that you cannot stop by material means. There are many examples of this. Interesting examples. Astrology is what? And according to your birth date, your birth time, there's a particular influence of the stars. These stars control the different parts of our body. And they lead us through life, and almost naturally by our conditioning, by our environment, we tend to act in predeterminable ways. If we just follow our own mind, if we follow our own instincts, so to speak, we go according to our own karma. How to break loose from that? So astrology can tell us, what is your birth karma? Whether you are intelligent, you should be at the time of birth, even before the child grows, the parents can see, oh, my child is going to be like this. Just like Lord Chaitanya's parents, they wanted to know, what is our child going to be like? What is he like? Because he's a little baby, you don't know what he is at that time, he or she. So the astrologer said, oh, your child can hold the whole universe. He's a Vishwambar. In the previous life, and then he gives the, what, previous life or future, they gave the nature, the glories of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Krishna or Lord Chaitanya come, they come at a very auspicious moment. And so the astrologers, whenever they see my chart, they say, how has this person become a guru? He got such an inauspicious chart. That's what I heard, and you know, I haven't... It's only that's by special mercy. I have no personal quality. Only by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. That's a kripacity. Someone get special mercy by his guru, then they can become qualified. But someone, like all of you are probably very fortunate people, so you probably have very good charts. But whatever the chart is, there's nothing purely good except for, you see, Krishna's or Ramchandra's or Lord Chaitanya's chart. Their chart, they come just at that most auspicious moment. Everything is arranged for their coming. So, any of you interested in astrology? Who's interested in astrology? Raise your hand. That's so many. A few. You want to hear another story about astrology? There was, you know, in India about 2,500 years ago, there was a, I should have said before then, even. See, there was, yeah, 2,500 years ago, there was a great king, Chandragupta, and he had Navaratnas, nine jewels in his court. He had nine ministers. They weren't like the, you know, present cabinet members that had to resign because of different gates. They were highly qualified people in a particular field, like one was the greatest astrologer, one was the greatest scientist, one was the greatest politician, one like that. They're military. They were the most highly qualified. So here at that time, this king, he only had eight. He wanted the ninth one, the greatest astrologer. So at that time, the most famous astrologer was Mihir. Full name of Mihir. Can't remember the full name. Mihir something. How to test who was the greatest? Because there were many astrologers at that time. So when the king's son was born, one of his princes was born, he asked all the different astrologers to do his chart. So at that time, all astrologers said that, well, this is what happened. But this one astrologer, he said at the age of nine, the boy will die being stabbed by a boar with his tusk. And he was like emphatic. He says, if he doesn't change his life apart from any spiritual activity, this is his karma for sure. So the king was very upset. All the other ones said, oh no, how can it be? So he was very upset. He wanted a retraction. He said, I won't retract. This is what's going to happen. So then, frankly, there's so much pressure because he said the wrong thing, you know, but he was so truthful, he just said whatever, that he had to leave that court palace. He just stayed in his house. So that time, the king, he didn't take any chances. He kept him up in the house, in the palace guard, and he kept, you know, watch out, no boars anywhere, no way to come. Finally, when the boy was 9 years, approaching that day, again the king said, "You sure? You're not going to change your verdict?" He said, "No way, I'm not changing my verdict." And finally that day came, and the king had guards everywhere looking, just keeping just everywhere that no one could come. And he looked still. Nothing happened. So he saw his boy was playing with the other children. He went down. He went to the astrologer at his house. And he said, "So, nothing has happened yet. Now what are you going to do?" So he looked, you know, at the, whatever. He said, "Didn't have watches, mother." He said, "You go now, your son is dead." He said, "I warned you." He wanted to make a material change. But he's surely dead now. I put my whole credentials as astrologer on it. So the king went, and the guards were outside. "Did anyone go in there?" He said, "No." He went inside, and he saw the children playing. He said, "Where's my son?" He said, "I don't know. He was right here." "You don't see his son?" He went out on the porch. His son was lying dead. Around the palace, there were brass boar, lion, boar, lion, around the thing, and one brass boar had fallen loose when he was outside on the porch and fell, and the tusk sat right in his heart and killed him instantly. And the king went and rewarded the astrologer, very unhappy over the death of his son, but then he made him the chief astrologer for his kingdom. So these are like the various kind of histories that you are in India. Of course, I don't know nowadays if they're such qualified astrologers, but at that time they were so astute. Even they could tell what is your previous life, everything. The point is that the same astrologer, the same shastra, if you surrender to Krishna, if you serve Krishna, if you engage in devotional service, because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, he can change your destiny. But materially, if someone just tries to change their destiny, they create a new destiny in the future. But the present destiny, they're bound to it. Whatever we do, we're creating the future. So actually what the Krishna Conscious Movement is trying to do is save the people from suffering. Save them from the otherwise inevitable suffering that is waiting for people. Lead a peaceful life, be happy, and at the end of this life, go back home, back to Godhead. It's a very positive alternative. There's nothing negative. Chant Hare Krishna, feast on Krishna Prasadam, read the nice philosophy for using the intellect, help other people who are suffering. Just like in India, when we had the flood around our temple, we distributed prasadam to about 100,000 people in a 1 month period. Taking it back to the, they sent the slides on the 16th. I was hoping it would reach by today because it was Sunday, the DHL didn't deliver. We wanted to show you the slides of the floods in eastern India and our relief operations there, feeding 5,000 people per day, delivering the food by motor launch. Outboard motor going through the inundated villages to the stranded people who couldn't get any food. Devotees are also fed 1,000 people who took refuge within their ashram, even though they were under 10 feet of water themselves. Everyone living on the roof. Or like in, not only we give physical, spiritual, all type of work to those, relief to people who are within the vicinity of our temple. We're not like the government. We have unlimited resources. But within the vicinity of our temples, it's our philosophy to help people. And this way we go on expanding temples, we expand the people that are covered. We don't have a commando crew to go everywhere. So this is another activity, helping others, spiritually, materially, serving, and ultimately serving Krishna, developing our natural relationship of loving God. So this movement was brought here, 1965, Prabhupada left India, brought it here. It's only, 21 years, 22 years. Krishna Kaya movement was established in 66. So this is the 21st anniversary, this September, this past. So in 21 years, now there are millions and millions of persons who are all over the world, outside of India, but to speak of those within India, who have taken the advantage of this process. It's an ancient process handed down. And we have, therefore, we may ask why we're doing this fire sacrifice. These are part of the ancient rituals. We don't always do these rituals. It's only we do on a special occasion, like weddings, initiation ceremonies. But because today we're having initiation ceremonies, so we're doing one of the original fire sacrifices, according to the Pancharatrik system. And we'd like to invite all the persons present that they can also participate by chanting the mantras. And by those with tilak, can throw the grains into the fire. Now, I'd like to request that we have some akshat. Have you made akshat? Can you make some quick? You know what akshat is? Huh? Rice with turmeric. It's customary, since today we're having three types of initiation. We're having Harinam, Brahman, and Krishna Seva. Pre-initiation. Blessing for advancing in Krishna consciousness. So the Harinam is the beginning of the spiritual life where one dedicates life for ultimately satisfying Krishna. They lead their normal life, but every day they chant at least 16 meditational beads and they melt it. Don't add water. এই গায়ম করে হয়ে যাবে কোন জল টল কিছু লাগবে না ওটা ঘি আছে ভিতরে আর একটা ঘি দিল দিতে পারো Brahman initiation or the Gayatri mantra qualifies a person to do such things as fire sacrifice, deity worship. These deities are worshipped according to our ancient process. These deities are Krishna himself coming in the form of a material form on the request of some great devotee of the Lord, some pure devotee of the Lord, for the purpose of training the devotees, of preparing the devotees for personal direct worship in the spiritual world. We can worship him in the deity form. Depending on one's realization, the Lord reciprocates even in this form. So that in order to do the worship, one needs to receive certain Pancharatrik mantras. These are secret silent mantras which are not spoken out loud. When after chanting Hare Krishna, after first initiation for a period of approximately 1 year or more, one can receive these mantras. So the husband and wife, Mathureshwar and Bhaveshwari, are receiving this mantras today. So it's customary when we give this that we have the already initiated Brahmana. We ask the Brahmana, we chant some mantras to clear away all inauspicious influences and attract. Then we chant mantras to bring in the auspiciousness. When we ask the Brahmana to, those who already have received these mantras, to throw some of the sanctified rice, sanctified, they hold in their hands, chant the mantras. Then they sprinkle over the heads of the candidates. If any of you would also like to receive some of this rice on your heads, you can raise your hands. We know where to throw it. Anyone who doesn't want? No one said, so you don't want duck. Now, I'm going to chant the Swasti Vachan Mantra. When I say Om Swasti, then you can throw the the brahmanas can take a little of this, and then you can throw. Well, here's the chief brahman here too. Om swastino govinda swastino chutananto swastino vasudeva swavishnu dadatu swastino narayano narovai swastinaha padamanabha purushottamo dadatu. Swastino Vishwakshino Vishweshwaraha Swastino Rishikesho Hari Dadhatu Swastino Vainateyo Hari Swastino Anganasuto Hanur Bhagavato Dadhatu Swasti Swasti Sumangalai Kesho Mahansi Krishnaha Satchidananda Ganaha Sarveshwareshwaro Dadhatu Karotu Swasti Me Krishna Sarvalokeshwareshwaraha Krishnarayascha Kurvantu Swasti Me Lokapavanaha Krishno Mamaiva Sarvatra Swasti Kujatsya Samam Tathaiva Cha Sadakarshni Sarva Vigna Vinashanaha Om Swasti Om Kriti
Om Swasti
Om Swasti
Om Swasti
Om Swasti
Om Swasti
Krishna now with folded hands, Brahmins. Krishna karotu kalyanam kamsa kunjara kishari kalindi jalakalola kolaholokatu hala madhavo madhavo vachi madhavo madhavo vidi smalanti sadhava sarve sarvakarjeshu madhava lavasteshan jayasteshan kutasteshan parabhava Jesham indi bharasyamo hidayasto janardanaha Pundarikaksha govinda madhavadischa jasmari tasyasya mangalam sarva karmado vignanashanam mangalayatanam krishnam govindam garudadhyajam madhavam pundarikaksham Vishnum Narayanam Harim Vasudevam Jagannatham Achyutam Madhusudhanam Tatamukundanantadhin Jasmare Pratamam Sudhi Satyankali Juge Vipra Srihare Nama Mangalam Param Svasayanam Nrinam Nasyevagatiranyata Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama
Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Tat Tat
We have another preliminary ceremony, or preliminary initiation, pre-initiation, called Prak Diksha, or Krishna, or Gauranga Sevak. Here is Nitai Gaura Chandra, so Gauranga Sevak, or Sevika, for women. The, it's a preliminary, in the sense that one chants at least four or more rounds in a day and believes in four basic principles and tries to practice them. The Alexis is taking this Gaur Sevak, Sevika. So I'd like to ask her if she accepts these four principles. The first principle is that Krishna, Sri Krishna, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, Param Brahman, and that he has appeared in the age of Kali in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you believe that, then say Hare Krishna. Second is that if you are convinced that, have conviction, that pure devotional service to Krishna is the perfection and goal of human life, and it's your personal goal in life to reach to pure devotion, then say Hare Krishna. The third is that if for achieving this pure devotion, you want the blessings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and you want to receive the guidance through his representative, then say Hare Krishna. And the fourth is that if you're having conviction for practicing and trying to improve in your devotional service to increase it, you say, at least we should maintain and try to increase. Then if you have that desire in the future to get the full shelter of Krishna, then you say Hare Krishna. Okay. Those four principles, Mrs. Josie, you also accept? Those four things I ask? Say Hare Krishna. My devotees in Colombia, Krishna, Gaura Sevika, Alexis.
Yes.
Gaura Sevika, Sushila. I have to chant customary for the guru to chant on the beads he gives. These beads haven't been chanted on. So you can start the fire, and we'll just chant one round. Anyone, all of you can chant along if you like. Those who don't have beads, you can just chant, or you can sing with. You're going to sing or you're going to chant? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.